this is probably new for you and things of that nature, and sometimes fear can grip us and it's like, oh, what am I gonna say? Or I don't sound like everybody else. But I just wanna commend you guys for having the courage to come in with us. The instructions of the house was for everybody to pray. And so Pastor Reggie had been talking about staying on the vine. John 15:5, out of the Message, reads like this: I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Separated from the Father, you can't do anything. Me separated from the Father, I can't do anything. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Ready, aim, fire. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I pray this out for your obedience. You know, you feel like you're probably getting thrown into the fire, which in a little bit, you are. But praise God. I heard you loud and clear. You prayed before. I heard you loud and clear. Glory to God.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Oh, you got
it? Yes.
Oh, you need it.
Thank you, man. Come on, give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. You all ready to write tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're going to do a little writing today. Amen. We're going to go into a little study on doctrine. Amen. Say me. Verb none. Just God. I like that. Thank you, Rachel, for putting that revelation, the prophetic revelation up. You are an army. You've been called to this place on purpose. Your lives are not insignificant. I told you Sunday that you're here on purpose and you came complete. God is unveiling to you what he desires to do through you, because you're an instrument in the earth to manifest his kingdom purposes in the earth. If you look at yourselves, you're not a substitute for Israel, but Israel is a picture of what the house, or what the church, the ecclesia, is supposed to be.
Amen.
Israel represented God and God's people in the earth realm. And they have a covenant with God that defies anything else. God said that they will prosper and they will be a great nation. Israel is smaller than the state of Maine, but they make about 33% of all the creative material, technological materials, technological advances, world scholars, Nobel Peace Prize winners. You look at the Jewish people and they are prominent in the vast technology and the creation of things, yet they make up such a small component of humanity. But the reason they stand out is because God has blessed them. Why? Because he made a covenant with them. And yet God says, you, the church, will make them jealous. Scripture says that you, the church, will make the Jew jealous. And the reason they will be drawn to him to a greater degree is because they see what was promised for them manifesting on you. Do you follow that?
Yes.
So the manufacturer receives recognition from his product. The manufacturer receives recognition from his product. Nobody gave a flip about Bill Gates until he developed Microsoft. Microsoft magnified him. Do you follow that? Who knew who Jeff Bezos was? An engineer studying at college. And he created a system to transport materials from one place to another. Now, Jeff Bezos is the richest human being on the planet right now. Started out just like you and I. But the manufacturer will be known by what he produces. Do you follow what I'm saying, saints? God's desire for you is that people might know who he is by your impact in their lives. And your impact comes from your relationship with him. Your impact comes from your relationship with the Father. He's relatable. You can know him. He will manifest himself to you. There are realms and dimensions. Say realms.
Realms.
And dimensions.
And dimensions.
Can you all see this? Realms and dimensions to God. Realms represent space. Okay? Realms represent space, area. Dimensions, levels. Say levels.
Levels.
They're levels to God. They're levels to his relationship, to relating to God. Say levels.
Levels.
Mm-hmm. There's a first level, second level, third level, fourth level, and on into infinity, because you'll never totally exhaust your knowledge of God in this life. Mm-hmm. Okay? Say dimensions.
Dimensions.
And levels.
And levels.
There's always another level to aspire to in God. Say it's not hard. It is challenging, because the only hard thing about relating to God is fighting your flesh. Do you follow me? It's your physical body that wrestles with your desire to spend time with the Father. And you can overcome that by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Let's talk about levels of doctrine. I'm writing so you all can see this. Let's do this. Should I get that?
Yeah.
What do we say doctrine was? Anybody remember?
Doctrine is instruction.
What was the Greek word?
Didache.
Didache. Which means to instruct or to teach. Phonetic spelling, since you might be struggling with that, okay? Remember, this is the American spelling for a Hebrew word, okay? All right? Doctrines. Source of all things. We call that Theo meaning God, ology meaning the study of. Okay? The doctrine of Christ, which we call Christology. The what? Study of who?
Christ.
Christ, okay? The Spirit of the Holy Spirit, okay? New what? Pneuma. Pneuma is what? Spirit in Greek. Remember, the Bible originates from two languages, Hebrew and Greek, okay? So if you want to break down doctrine, okay, you got to study what? Okay. Y'all got that? Okay. I don't want to get a headache right here. So you are Christian scientists. Say uh-huh. Say uh-huh. Yeah, I'm all that. Will nobody be able to say people from divine destiny Christians don't know who they are? You follow what I'm saying? I'm sorry, man. I'm trying to get back so I can get everybody in here. Everybody can see that? Now, what I'm going to also have you guys do. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Y'all know Pastor Miller. Come from a teaching family, too. I want each of you to do. Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'm going to write it out now and let y'all get it.
There's a water?
Oh, yeah.
It's mine.
Actually, 57.
Jesus.
I just give y'all.
You gave me nine.
I'm just giving you a few. So the pastor just giving me a few. All right. Say the study of man, the doctrine of man.
I'm
going to write this down.
You said there's 59 in total?
57.
57.
So we got pneumatology. You all know this right here. Man is anthros. Anthropology.
Okay. Oh, guys.
Angelology. The study, say the study of angels.
The study of angels.
Mm-hmm. I'll get you just a few of them. I'll write them all down. Church. Okay. You know, what's the Greek word for church?
Ecclesia.
There you go. Street over here. Put that devil back in the box.
I'm trying to kill it.
Yeah, spirit, you can't get it. You gotta beat him, Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Keep you there. I'll take you there.
Yes. That's what I
want. Right.
I'm a wrench.
I don't want to go through all these.
Okay, I got one on here. I don't know how this is. How much? H-A-M-A-R-T-I-O-L-O-G-Y.
Now, you wrote all that down. It didn't put the meaning up?
No, I don't know how to say it. It's the doctrine of sin.
There you go.
How you say it. How do I say it?
Hamartiology.
Hamar.
H-A-M-A-R. What? And that's what's T, right? Theology.
Excuse me, sir. What are we supposed to learn?
So Jesus, the doctors, and so he gave us these. My picture don't have a date on it. It probably does, but I took a picture of it.
This was September 13th.
September 13th is when you gave it to us, and so I took a picture of it. That's how I got these.
Okay, September 13th. So I can cover the board and she can give them to me verbatim punctuated.
I don't know about verbatim, because I can't say it. I can't even say it. I'm so
Glory to God.
Harmatology.
Harmatology. Harmatology.
You got it there, sister. Now, God. Theology, the what? Study of God. Christology, the study of what? Pneumatology, study of what? Holy Spirit. Man, study of what? Anthropology. Angel, angelology. Okay. Say this is all part of God's kingdom. So in every kingdom, there's an army. A protective force that protects you from dangers domestic and what?
Abroad.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. You got ambassadors who represents. They represent the kingdom in which they originate. Mm-hmm. America has ambassadors. What do? They reflect the culture or the kingdom of the United States. How we conduct ourselves, how we handle our business. We are representing what is true of the states to a people that don't what? That don't know us. Do you follow me? As an African American, you represent, say represent. We studied an individual when we first got to Tuskegee, an African whose main job, this was his idea of himself. Wherever I go, I reflect the best of my race, so I'll watch what I do. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Okay. So his mentality was this. I'm going to do my best to reflect the best that is in me because what is seen, what they see of me will be reflected on everybody that's associated or looks like me. Follow that? Follow that? Which means he had a high ethical standard and he had a very high, say very high, revelation of who he was and what he was supposed to reflect to his community. You follow that? Say number 8. Huh?
Soteriology.
Study of salvation. Okay. You got that? Mm-hmm. I want to spend a little time with this. That's eschatology.
Eschatology.
Which is the study, when you say last, we're talking about final things. These are the things that are spoken of at the end times. When the Father shows you what the end times will be. There is a teaching that has come forth, and I tend to believe it's truth, that the end will come when men refuse to do what God has called them to do. You follow that? In essence, the Father will maintain the nations as long as there's a righteousness in the nations, a righteous standard. Give you a perfect example, Sodom and Gomorrah. God went to judge that nation. Mm-hmm. But what did he tell?
If there be one righteous man in the
Do you follow that?
Yeah.
You follow that? Lot was inquiring to God, if I find, will you not destroy this? Mm-hmm. Now God already knows the answers to the questions we ask. He says, go find him.
It's not that high. Mm-hmm. It's not that high.
Started at 15, wound up with what?
Zero.
The family. It was none. He pulled them out because he knew what they were. You follow what I'm saying? God will always pull a remnant out of destruction. Why? Because I want to recreate. I want to reproduce. I want to get it. Say, get it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
What's that?
Genesis 19, right?
Huh?
Genesis 19.
That's right. It's in the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. Now what I'm giving you is because this is what I do every day. You should be reading a chapter minimum. You're scholars.
At least one chapter. Mm-hmm. Not
Say minimum.
Minimum.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? You don't have to read to memorize. Although memorization will come. Remember, God always told the prophets, Ezekiel, he told them to eat the scroll, which was read the word. Why? He says, Jesus says, I have meat that you know not of. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds what? Out of the mouth of God. Follow me? What did he tell Jeremiah? He says, eat the scroll. What was he saying? Follow me? So the Father said, you spent 4 years of intensive study to get a degree.
A degree.
Mm-hmm. Didn't one. Just didn't say A, say A degree.
A.
4 years to get what? A degree. Huh? God says, if you put as much time in studying that, I contend if you spend as much time studying this as you did that, you'd be further along.
Wow, true.
All right? Because this has supernatural. Say supernatural.
Supernatural.
Say abilities.
Abilities.
Mm? What took you 4 years to get, God could move you. Say move you.
Move you.
Huh? It doesn't take God a long time to make you a millionaire. All you have to do is sign one contract. Just one contract can take you from one day to the next in a better position. But those contracts usually come from relationships. So God can put you in a position, boom, just like that. And you can go from zero to boom. Thousands and millions, just like that. Why would he do something like that? First of all, because of his relationship with you, and he can trust you for the moment. Say trust for the moment.
Trust for the moment.
2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9. God says, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro to see who he can show himself. Notice what he said. Mighty through. So you mean God's trying to communicate to somebody who he is? If he's trying to find someone that he can show himself.
Mighty.
Notice he didn't say you. He says himself.
Yeah.
What? Mighty through. Which means I want to share a part of me with them that I trust. You don't give anybody your trust. Trust is earned.
Correct.
Nothing wrong with that. Say nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
You better let people. Say let people.
Let people.
Mm-hmm. Give you an opportunity to see how much responsibility they will take. Because the level of responsibility will determine the level of trust. You follow me? You don't get a promotion because they like you. You get a promotion because they trust you. You follow that? I can like you and not promote you. Do you understand? Because I can love you. But you haven't proven that I can trust you with certain things. You follow me? But in spite of that, God always gives us the ability, say the ability, and the opportunity to develop that level of
trust.
And he even helps you because he puts you into the positions, amen, where you can show him. Now remember, he already knows your potential. God's not questioning what you can do. Question from the Father is, will you? Say will.
Will.
The issue is not can you. The question is will. Why? Because if you're a believer, he's giving you his spirit.
Amen.
And he's giving you his word. And if you will to do it, then he takes you to the what? Next level of trust.
Amen.
Huh? Obedience at this level means promotion to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me?
Amen.
So at the level of obedience, that becomes the framework by which you are catapulted to the next level. Or the next assignment. Because obedience determines what?
Trust.
And trust determines the next level.
Amen. That's good.
You follow me, saints?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I took my baby's Bible. Here you go.
Bless you.
All right, let me get my own.
Did you say the
my level of obedience determines my next level of promotion.
Yes.
Okay, determines.
Yes. Because if you look at this rubric, obedience plus trust. Can you all see that? Can you see that?
Yes.
Or is that a little difficult?
You just bring it out the projector.
Yeah, that projector's kind of... Can you see that cloth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Hmm. Let's go to pneumatology. Which is the what?
Study of the Holy Spirit.
Study of the Holy Spirit. Why am I going there? Because Jesus, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Required of his people to receive, say receive.
Receive.
Holy Spirit. Doctrine of the Spirit is a very important doctrine.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is the key to your success.
Amen, yes.
And the key to you overcoming. Say, not the devil.
Not the devil.
Because Jesus defeated the works of the devil, 1 John.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Say, he's defeated.
He's defeated.
Hmm? Even though he can't be killed because he's a spirit, the Bible says he's defeated.
Defeated.
Mm-hmm. But you're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what the enemy tries to do, say, tries to do.
Tries to do.
He tries to co-labor with you. Okay. Why does he try to co-labor with you? Because he sees something like him in you. Or, say or.
Or.
He doesn't believe that you truly are who you claim to be.
Right.
All right. See, remember, he's a liar, so he doesn't believe truth. Mm-hmm. All right. He hates truth. So you say, oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. And he looks at that. Mm-hmm. Let me see what happened when I drop this on. Do you follow me? Let me see what happens when ain't nobody watching. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what God allows, say what God allows, is you to defeat you. Can I say this? If you can humble yourself, no one can humble you. If you can humble yourself, no one will humble you. And when I say humble yourself before your Father. Humbling is another sign of defeating your appetites. You know your appetites are. We're following.
Mm-hmm.
Say desires.
Desires.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can have some unholy desires.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you might be an apostle of this and pastor this, don't mean the enemy's not trying to drop little inklings of your old life back in your face.
That's right. That's right. Keep it 100. Yes. 100.
Your old mistakes.
Yeah.
Your old attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what it means. See, if he can co-labor with you, he's trying to take you back to the place of your defeat.
Only you can defeat you.
Okay.
Ooh, talk here, sir.
So a strong spiritual constitution, which means a human. It's not humiliation. Say it's not humiliation.
Not humiliation.
Okay. God doesn't want to humiliate you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God wants you to keep the impulses of the old man dead. Because you have impulses to be lazy. Your impulses to eat too much. Because you're human. Say you're human.
You're human.
Mm-hmm. They say this flesh is strong.
This flesh is strong.
Mm-hmm. You can be triggered to cuss.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Being said yes to it, got to be delivered from.
I got the
problem.
And say that comes natural.
Comes natural.
Mm-hmm. But you're supernatural now.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
Mm. Say paradigm shift.
Paradigm shift.
One way of thinking to another. Mm. Cause obedience to what was new and disobedience to that which is old. So you can be trusted with more. Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
God is a good father. He doesn't put more on you than you're able to handle.
That's right.
I used to think that was good. Oh, cool. He don't put that on me. But I started to think about it. God started showing me some things. Why would you ask me for a six-figure salary when you can handle a five?
Hey,
I'm a good father. See, I'm a good father. And I require you to be what? Obedient. And one of the characteristics of an obedient son to God is what? Stewardship. Mm-hmm. You can handle what I put in your hand. Mm-hmm. It doesn't handle you. You follow me? See, God says, I put money in your hands up to the level that you can control it, and it doesn't control you. God says, money was never the problem. He says, the love of it was the problem. I'll give you all you can handle if you don't put it above me. Hmm? Because if you start putting it above me, you start hurting others. Do you follow that? So what God gives you, he doesn't want it to be a tool to destroy you.
Amen.
Follow that. He doesn't want to give you anything that's going to be an asset to taking you down from the place that you were originally designed to be. Do you follow that? Some people will give you stardom, not because they like you, but because they like what you produce. Can I say that again?
Yeah, that's good.
They'll make a star of you, not because they necessarily like you, but they like what you produce. Make the money, and I'm happy. Okay? You fail, we kick you to the curb, and we bring somebody else in to make us money. I don't care about you in that regard. You just make us money, and I'll pretend to like everything you like. Until I've wasted you, and you can no longer produce for me what you have. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Satan, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That's exactly that. Mm-hmm. But remember, what he produces, he puts his image on. Mm-hmm. Huh? What Satan produces, he puts his
image on.
And you begin to look just like him. Mm-hmm. Mm. To your demotion. Do you follow me? Because Satan can make you rich too. Satan can make you popular too. It's his world system. That's what God said. Mm-hmm. But you've been brought in to take his kingdom down.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Huh? So that those who've been abused by it, because see, Satan don't ever allow to arise those who he destroys, because he comes to kill them. God will take you out of the ash heap of your problems and put you back on top and say, nah, 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 nah.
Amen.
Take that, Satan. Mm? Do you follow me? So God will use a person like Job, who has everything. Brandon, we was watching, we were talking about you. We watched Super Bowl last night. Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
It's a movie.
No, Super Bowl. Yeah,
several.
Yeah.
That's what we show the children.
Ah,
biblical stories.
Fire biblical stories.
Powerful. So Satan went up to God and says, "Huh? Can't touch Job." First chapter of Job. Satan walks up to heaven and follows, says, "Where have you been?" Seven roaming to and fro, looking around. Basically what he was saying, looking to see what I can tear up. You see Satan every day. You see him in our Allstate commercial. What they call it? Mayhem.
Yeah. That's real.
Every time he show up, he tearing up something. That's all Satan is. Whenever he show up, he tearing up something. You follow me? Get Allstate and get rid of mayhem. You follow me?
Think about it. It works.
I see the spiritual parallel. Get Jesus and tell Satan, because he's mayhem. You follow me? Manifested in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? So God gives you his spirit, man, to come down here and to tear up all his foolishness. so that people who are looking for a way out, say a way out.
Way out.
Because they can't see God. You're the only God that they're going to see because of the way you carry yourself, how you walk in the humbleness of God, how you walk in the love of God, how you can look beyond their stench and the, all the funky stuff that they do, and you're still reaching out to them.
Yeah.
Hmm? You're not repelled by their attitudes. You're not repelled by their lack of self-esteem. You're not repelled by their arrogance. You're not repelled by that. And the arrogance, you know, comes from insecurity. So they got to build up this wall to make you think they're strong. But you puncture that thing, and you find out you got a little children, a little child hiding behind that facade. Why are you spending time with me? Why are you doing all of this stuff? Why are you sharing your resources? Why are you sharing your time? Why are you doing all that? Because I'm just an extension of one who loves you as he used to, as he loves me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just an instrument to show you how much he cares.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. So God wants to take you deeper. Say, take you deeper.
Take you deeper.
Hmm? Turn your Bible, if you will. Now follow the Holy Spirit. In your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Still talking about what?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. What's his Greek name? The study of what? I'm what?
Pneumatology.
Pneumatology. Say pneumatology.
Chapter 14.
Yes, sir. Chapter 14.
Chapter 14.
I'm going to write this down so y'all can get it. Because I'm trying to show a parallel. Somebody get John chapter 14. And someone already has 1 Corinthians 14. Brother Vernon, you got 14?
Corinthians?
Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 14?
Yes.
Okay. Read John chapter 14, Rachel. Should have started and let Brother Vernon finish up. So we're talking about Holy Spirit.
Talking about Holy Spirit.
Just start reading John chapter 14, starting with verse number 1, and so I'll tell you to stop, okay?
Okay.
You getting somebody in the sense?
Yes,
sir. You all connecting the dots?
Mm-hmm. Verse 1.
Because this is where we're going. Say, this is where we're going. See, you can no longer have confidence in this natural existence. Hmm? Can't be comfortable yielding always to your five senses. You follow me? Now you have to live. In a higher dimension. Which means now you have to get to a place where you can hear Holy Spirit for yourself.
Yes, right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Which means you got to learn how to be quiet because he's always been talking.
Yeah.
Sometimes you didn't know you heard him. Mm-hmm. You know how you know you heard him? When something happened, you say to yourself, oh man, something told me not to do that.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is cool. You see this little mark right here on my eye? That was being disobedient. I was in my house. See, I had a private gym in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get real. I'm just not getting back in shape. I'm gonna get in here and do some stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Go, Dad.
So I'm feeling real good, and I dropped 285 on the bar.
285.
Ain't nobody in the crib but me. And the car, I heard his voice say,
macho man.
Don't do it. So I'm up here. Boom. First one. Bam. Boom. Oh. Boom.
Got it.
Don't do it. Boom. Ain't nobody in the house. Vernon, I'm trying to slide out a bitch. Trying to slide. And I said, Lord, I got one shot. And I threw it behind me to try to get it away,
And it got far enough away and it swiped because your skin is very thin.
Yeah.
Very thin.
Could have ended
so terrible. And I'm bleeding and I call baby. Baby, what you gonna do?
She said, yeah, that's all right.
What you gonna do? I'm telling you, hear it. Mm-hmm. Little small unction. Now, one thing he doesn't do, he doesn't speak in your voice, say, I told you not to do it, you stupid. You understand? Yeah. It says, rest, relax. I don't think I had the key yet. I think I even locked myself out the door.
It just gets worse.
But you know, you get up here and you're depending on your natural strength. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, 285?
I got it.
Got this. I said, and you ain't, see, you one of them cockscrowing Negroes think you can just jump on the bench and everything gonna come back. Mm-hmm. Don't work that way. But boy, I'm sitting up there and all I could say was, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, my face gonna be tore up, Lord, I'm sorry. He says, you didn't have to go through this. Because he cares about the smallest things. Mm-hmm. And he's always talking. But if you got a whole bunch, a static going up here, and you're not comfortable hearing him or listening to him on a consistent basis, then it becomes, his voice starts to sound like something else.
Yeah.
Because there's no confidence in it.
That's true.
Confidence comes by training your voice, your spirit to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Do you follow me, saints? Yes. Which means?
Which means?
It's a deliberate, say deliberate.
Deliberate.
Huh? Intentional move on your part. Amen. To attune your ears. Because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Who's he talking about? Holy Spirit. My sheep know my voice. Whose voice is that? Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is in heaven, y'all. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal himself, Jesus, to you. So you can hear what? Hear him. Do you follow that? So you're moving from this natural realm of living to a new plateau. Say, new dimension.
New dimension.
When he can trust you with the small, say the small things.
The small things.
Don't touch that bench. Okay. It's like a kid. Don't touch them cookies. Oh, Lord. Oatmeal raisin, that's my favorite. Get up there, pour that dry down, and that whole thing fall on your head and crack. Oh, that's so sad. And now you got stitches. You try to get them cookies? No, we just failed.
No, we tried to get them.
But it's a new dimension of living. It's a new level. Because I want to be involved with your job.
Yes.
I want to be involved with your relationships. I want to be involved in your financial dealings. I want to be involved in everything because I'm here. Say, he's here.
He's here.
Hmm? To help you profit. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Huh? What's he saying? What makes you new? Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God that's dwelling on the inside of you to work. Co-labor. With you, son. So he can take you through the steps that God has already taken you through to give you the success that's already planned for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. John chapter 14. Getting somebody in this sense?
Yes.
Say new dimension.
New dimension.
New thinking.
Mm-hmm.
New levels of thinking. Obedience to those new levels of thinking builds trust. Say trust.
Trust.
God can trust you, so that he can take you to
promotion.
New levels of living. You follow that? And it all starts. It all starts.
All starts.
For hearing and
reading.
Because that's the tech. That's the playbook. So that's the playbook. Mm-hmm. That's what you piece together for your success and for everything. And you release the playbook by speaking and walking in obedience to what has been said. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel.
GP hit it.
I'm a new breed. Verse 1? Okay. Do not let your heart be troubled, afraid, or cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in Him. Have faith, hold on to it, rely on it, keep going, and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And to the place where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?
Check this out now. I love Jesus, man. I love him. Cool. But I like Thomas. Because he's engaged.
Mm-hmm. He's engaged.
Dude said, what is he talking about?
What way, Lord?
Now, he's been with Jesus 3 years. Mm-hmm. But spiritual information is tough to digest, man. You understand right. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
If your mind's not focused on that.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
He can do this.
Yes. Go over, yeah.
Okay. You keep rolling because you didn't recognize that was something I could have called. But he told him, said, don't be what? Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
What does the enemy try to make you do?
Make you fear. Afraid.
Mm-hmm. Give you anxiety about moving into that next place.
Correct.
Because you're not comfortable with it.
Amen.
So you could be uncomfortable in a place, but you can be what? Comforted in your uncomfortability.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in a place that you're not sure of, but guess what? At least you know the enemy. You see him all the time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with this enemy,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm stepping into a flow that I'm not familiar with. Do you follow that? And the Father saying, don't be that way. Why? Because it indicates your five senses are out of whack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
You're sensing something that's not real. What do we say? Fear is false evidence of hearing. You're scared about something that ain't even there.
Right.
I'm
in there yet. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Something you created in your mind because you don't think you and Christ says you can do what? Do you see the shift that has to take place?
Yeah.
You got to get fear out your life.
Right.
Yeah. Remember I told you what the Indians said about bears? Bears, they ain't mad with you, and they're not afraid of you. They can sense fear. And you bring in an enemy into his domain. So he's not coming necessarily to get you. He's coming to get what you carry.
Right.
And the only thing he know how to do is eat you up. You understand what I'm saying? Because he doesn't understand the spiritual side of what's happening. He just knows you showed up and something entered my domain that I can't deal with.
That's good. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you see? So when fear shows up, say fear shows up.
Fear shows up.
You start speaking the word of God.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah.
Amen.
Because the Bible says the word is what? Two-edged
sword.
Sword.
Say two-edged sword.
Two-edged sword.
Let me break that down. Distomas. That's the word for two-edged sword. That's Greek. Distomas. Dis means two. Okay?
Yeah.
Stomas means to speak. Do you follow that? Distomas. D-Y-S-T-O-M-O-S. Or D-I-S. Okay? You can spell it two ways. D-I-S-T-O-M-O-S. Die, or from the Greek word duo, means two. Okay? Stomas, or stomas, it means to speak. Do you follow me? I'm going to give you a revelation here. So, when God has spoken his word, say spoken his word.
Spoken
the word is a sword. Say sword.
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 Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But the word not spoken has no power.
Do you
follow me?
That's right.
The unspoken word has no power.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the other edge of the sword comes? It comes when you speak what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Now the power of that sword comes forth.
Okay, I got you.
Why? Because the word spoken manifests in the natural realm. Yep. The word in your Bible not spoken does nothing for you.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. So when you say what God says, now that thing becomes a weapon. Huh?
and it's working for you. After all, the sword is not an offensive weapon. You don't get the sword in Rome.
That's right.
You get the sword in you.
Go for it.
You have to tell what I'm saying. Do you see that? So you start speaking the word in your circumstance. I bind the spirit of fear. I will not let anxiety come into my house. You cannot say those things. I decree and declare. You understand me?
Yeah.
See, your power comes in what you know and what you release. That's why Timothy says, let the word of God dwell in you.
Richly.
Richly, which means you got to eat. You got to have it in you. So put it on the shelf of your heart. So when you need the Holy Spirit, can pull from it and give you a word in due season. You follow me? It helps in every situation. Say every situation.
Every situation.
Mm-hmm. So Rachel was reading, and Jesus was saying, do not be troubled. Do not what? Fear. Then he begins to tell Thomas what's getting ready to happen. And then tells Thomas, you already know. And Thomas asked the question. When you don't know, say ask the question.
Ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Say ask.
Ask.
The Bible says in James, ask and you shall
receive.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead on, sister.
Thomas said.
Are you following? Y'all tracking with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got to watch what you say. Say, watch comes out of your mouth.
Watch what comes out of your mouth.
Because you activate something in your environment that's not good for you if it's the wrong words.
Yeah.
And if you release the right words, say you don't release the sword in that environment. And whatever's in there is going to be removed. Remember now, Psalms 103:20 says the angels hearken to the voice of the
Lord.
But also says they excel in strength in that same chapter. Angels excel in strength. Mm-hmm. Means that they're built to be strong. They're built to tear up stuff. Mm-hmm. So when they hear the word, this big strong sucker comes and says, okay, well, is that really God? Oh, she's saying the word. See, when you say the word, it's just like God said it. Huh? Because now you've taken what God said, and now you're meshing it with your faith, and you create this weapon of destruction to anything that's not like God.
Mm-hmm.
So how important it is to open your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And open your mouth with the word.
With the word.
In your mouth.
In your mouth.
Not what you feel. But loud if it be your will, God says, shut her up. If it be, do you know what my will is?
Ooh, do you know what will? Do you know?
See?
You know.
Because it's a kingdom of what? Words.
Mm-hmm. Word activated.
And what did in Genesis, what did the serpent say to Eve? You will be just like. And she didn't even know, Kara, she was already just like. Made in his image and his likeness.
Mm.
But Satan said, she don't know who she is. So I'm a pimper. I'm going to take from her what she already got. Remember, Jesus said this in the Gospels, book of Matthew. He says, to him that has, more will be given.
Mm-hmm.
But to him that hasn't believed not, what he has shall be taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
What is he saying? Those who haven't believed, and walk in what?
Obedience.
Will develop the what? Trust of the Lord and be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
The Father says this, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due season I will exalt you. Exalt means to elevate,
mm-hmm.
to put up to a high place.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, the testing
yes.
of the word that I've given you, which is obedience to what I've said, when you put it into practice, I'm going to move you higher. Because I can trust you with more. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means that promotion comes, not because he loves you, but because he trusts you. It would be unfair for God to put you in a place you can't stand. This is a guarantee you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? You follow me?
What's the scripture reference in Matthew where Jesus talked about understanding more?
Let me try that. I'll get that for you. I don't remember it offhand. I'll get that for you. Okay? Continue reading. I'm going to look that up right now.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God, and the real truth, and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
So who comes to the Father?
No one.
Those who
believe in him.
Believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the apostles' doctrine. Mm-hmm. And that's what they preach after Jesus passed. So no man comes to the Father except by what?
Except through
you
Jesus.
You are already accepted by him because you what?
You believe.
You believe. So you in the mix. I'm in the mix.
I'm in the mix.
Okay. Continue on.
It says, if you had really known me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied.
Check this out. Truth can be walking with you, and you can't even see it.
That's right.
You follow me? These 12 men have been walking with Jesus for what?
3 years.
3 years. And they're saying, show me who? God. Because their religious tradition has messed them up. You follow that? Okay. So their traditions. They had a perception of Jesus that he was going to come and beat the Romans. He was going to be king to take Roman control away and put Israel back into a place of prominence. They didn't recognize that he was coming to destroy sin and his power forever. And as a result of that, they would never, if they trust him, be a slave again.
Amen.
Follow me? Because their problem was not natural. Their problem was spiritual.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, baby.
Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time and you do not know me yet, Philip, nor recognize clearly who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not say on my own initiative or authority, but the Father abiding continually in me does his works, his attesting miracles and acts of power.
Now check this out. He says, I do nothing what? Of myself?
Yes.
Huh?
On my own initiative.
Who's doing it then?
The Father.
By the what? His Spirit.
His Spirit.
You see that?
Uh-huh.
So Jesus is giving them hints. They're giving them hints.
Giving hints.
Because he's saying, listen, I'm telling you guys, I'm not doing this on my own volition. I'm not making this up as I go along. I'm walking this out so you can see it. You follow that? I'm walking this out so what? You can see it. That's what television is. Tell a
vision.
Break it down. Tell
vision.
And what you see. What? You aspire to. Oh, I saw her dance, so I want to be a what? Dancer. Why? Because the vision opened up possibilities. What? For you. You follow that?
Yeah.
You saw something? Yeah, go ahead, Brother Brian.
Was it because they got familiar with him, or hanging with him for 3 years, they just got familiar with him, and then they kind of...
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jesus is scaring them, because now they're not only they're familiar with him, they expect him to do everything for them.
Mm.
Oh, that devil? Oh, he Jesus handled that.
Mm.
Yo, boss, we hungry.
Handle that.
You know something? I got to pay taxes, boss. Go get that fish. So Jesus is now saying, okay, y'all getting a little comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's time for me to go.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? And they're getting scared. Why are they getting scared?
Because
if the master is here, we ain't got to worry about what? A thing.
Yeah.
But my 3 years here was to demonstrate to you who you are in me.
That's
I'm
right.
Showing you yourself if you catch this.
That's right. That's good.
Hmm? You follow that? And Peter was catching it. But Peter was trying to do it in his own strength.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's like, oh, I can do that. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Peter. Told Peter. Peter was mad because Jesus basically prophesied all y'all are going to die. Peter like, but what about me? What about Numbskull over here? Talking about John. John's about 11 years old. Peter, grown man. So Peter's like, well, what about that joker? And Jesus said, what is it to you, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
You already know you're going to get killed. If he don't get killed, what's it to you? You follow what I'm saying? He was essentially letting him know, bro, you're going to die just like me, but you're going to be lifted up so high as a result of this. And this thing's going to be done not by your power, Peter, but by your Spirit. Because he said, you're going to be led to a place that you don't want to go.
you guys been talking about you want to do this? He says, this is what's going to happen. What? This is what you were called to do. And see, what happens, most people don't understand this. During the time of death, guess what? The Spirit of God empowered them to go through it.
That's right.
God empowers you to do that. You follow that? These dudes, man, have visions and everything. But do you know what? When you look at the root word disciple, it means martyr. How do you apply that martyr? You know what a martyr is?
They die for what they believe in.
Okay. A martyr is someone who gives their lives freely. They die freely. You ever seen those movies of the Roman Colosseums where they feed the Christians to the lions? That's the martyr he's talking about. But do you know your life, when you gave your life to Christ, you martyred yourself?
That's right.
Now, y'all didn't know that.
Whoa, life changing.
Your life is mine now. No, Jesus, I just got saved. Now help me. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Oh, that's why Paul says he's a bondservant. He willingly serves.
What's a bondservant? The difference between a bondservant and a servant is this. A bondservant freely submits themselves to servitude for life. Our servant, well, you know, I ain't got no shit. No, you ain't get paid. You gonna be the servant because I bought you.
You ain't good.
Or you became a spoil when I took your nation. So come on over here and wash your dishes. But what Jesus is saying is this: you give yourself to everything else.
Yeah.
I've given myself to you. The fair exchange is you let me be what I desire to be in you. That was the exchange, my life for yours. That was the exchange. That's another doctrine called the doctrine of substitution.
Ooh.
What? Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible, the doctrine of substitution. Jesus substituted his life for yours. And in response, I give my life out of gratitude for what he saved me from.
Response.
Do you follow that? Then God. Can use you like him. Because see, you ain't got to die no more. Jesus already died. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
You follow me, saints? So it's now you've given yourself to the Father so the Father can do in you what he desires to do what? To bring recognition of how good he is to someone else. Remember, you're the what? Product that brings honor to the what?
To the Father.
To the factor. Go ahead on, Rachel.
Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves which you have witnessed.
Very works. Mm-hmm. I mean, the salvations, the casting out of the devils, all those things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, y'all supposed to do stuff like that?
Yes. Amen.
All right, now. Go ahead on, bud.
I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do.
Ooh.
And he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach because I am going to the Father.
So do you see the job description that has just been identified for you?
Amen.
He just said greater things. What's he saying? He said, what you've seen me do in 3.5 years, he says, you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm expecting. So that's what he's expecting.
That's what he's expecting. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what he's expecting. Someone gives you a scholarship, you think expectations come with that?
Yes, and stipulations.
Someone gives you a job. Does expectations come with that?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you think Father gives you something that there's no expectation associated with it? You can live any way you want to. That's how a lot of people have been taught. What they say, we got fire insurance. We can go do whatever we want to do. God gonna forgive us. I had a dude, I'll tell you this for my baby, okay? There was a girl that liked me. And the brothers, I'm sorry, baby. This is true. And these brothers, now, I'm going to tell you what they said. These brothers said, man, she's so fine.
Go ahead and do it. God will forgive you. I know you're a Christian. Just do it for us. Satan, get thee behind me.
That's what they said.
And they were saying, the brothers grew up in the church.
Makes sense.
Do you see what I'm saying? And you got people like that who live any kind of way. Say, live any kind of way. And they think they're going to be forgiven. Say, that's a shot. That God's going to fire. And he always does it because whom he loves, he what?
He chastises.
That doesn't mean he beats you up.
Disciplines.
That means he makes you uncomfortable to the place you recognize, I got to give this what? I got to give this up. Why? Because it's killing you. Because God is a what? He's still a just God. Say, he's a God of love.
He's a God of love.
Mm-hmm. But he'll deal with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Say that when we say, when we're in the church, don't be stiff-necked, boy. Can't tell him nothing. Stiff-necked. Can we do what he want to do? Go ahead on, babe.
And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do, so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, when that time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father and you are in me, and I in you. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him.
Do you see all these promises? Mm-hmm. But he's prophesying. Say prophesying.
He's prophesying.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Say you will prophesy too.
I will prophesy too.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't say you will walk in the office of a prophet, so some of you may very well. That may be the call of God on your life. But every Christian should see into the future.
That's right. Amen.
Say every Christian.
Every Christian.
That makes your ministry so much more effective.
Yes.
You know when people go to soothsayers and go to palmists and palm readers?
For the future.
For the future. Mm-hmm. Come here, my Lord Jesus. No, man, you don't do that. I shouldn't be able to see your tongue. But do you see, the Father wants you to be delicious. If God gives you a word of knowledge for someone in that store you're working in, meaning that God showed you something about their life, you say, the Father would like you to know this. And they say, how did you know that? I hadn't told you that. How do you know that? Do you know that's God's mechanism to witnessing? Mm-hmm. That's why witnessing is so ineffective, because people don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God wants to give you, mm-hmm. But you got to believe it.
Mm-hmm. I believe.
See, he uses the gift of the Spirit for you to penetrate people's lives.
Yeah.
Because when you can tell them something that they didn't know, that you should know, now they will begin to open up and begin to really receive what you have to say. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. So just getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit where you speak in tongues only, that's not the end, guys. That's just walking in the front
just
door. Say, levels. And stages. God wants to give you to the point where he can begin to share people's innermost secrets with you. And you begin to share. But you don't prophesy to tear somebody down.
That's right.
You need to get yourself together.
You know, you ever heard anybody prophesy and tear somebody down? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You want to walk out of the door.
You want to fight them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because the issue, the purpose of prophecy, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is to edify, which means to build, to exhort, which means to encourage, and to comfort. Say comfort. People need to be comforted. They need to know that everything's going to be all right. They need to know that God has a plan in all of this. See, and that's why the church, you're the church, should be flowing because of, say because of, the Spirit of God in you, amen, who activates, say activates, huh? This new level of living in you that brings comfort to people,
amen,
and even you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that?
Yes.
So we've got to teach, say
teach
this technology, man.
Teach this technology.
That God wants to birth in us. Say it's already in us, but you got to let it flow. So he can give you the courage to recognize that you hear him and that you see. Say see.
See.
See, there are two types of prophets in the Old Testament. The Navi. Say the Navi.
Navi.
The Navi prophet speaks what they hear God say. Then there was another form of prophet called the seer. Say seer. They see things. They see things, and what they see, they release. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Giftings. Say giftings.
Giftings.
Supernatural giftings for the work that you've been called to do. But if nobody teaches you this, how you can you walk in what you don't know? How can you do a cover two if I never taught you a cover two? Talking about off defensive schemes. You follow me?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was like, what cover?
How can you do arithmetic if you've never been taught it? How can you write poetry if you can't write? You follow what I'm saying? You have to be developed. Say developed.
Okay.
So you can walk out this gift. Say walk out this gift.
Walk out this gift.
That boy can be a 10.200 meter runner, but he'd never get on a track. That fast twitch muscle operation that God placed on the inside of him would never be used.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It'll lie dormant. And he'll go to bed. He'll go to death. He'll go to his grave with 10.2 speed in the 100 meters that was never used.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. I could be a genius, but never put that genius to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gifts that were never what? Realized. The potential was there, but it was never what? Never developed. So he gives you the spirit so you can walk in and do what no one else can do. And transform a whole community. Mm-hmm. Transform an entire job. Transform everything in your life. You're supposed to control your environment.
That's right. Amen.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. But you gotta let the Holy Spirit control you.
Yep. First things first.
Word.
Yeah. Ah, you follow me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, that's
follow me.
That
hurts. Continue on, Sister Rachel. Y'all get? Am I making this clear?
Mm-hmm.
I'm making this clear. Mm-hmm. See, we gotta take Scripture and make it applicable to this 21st century operation we live in. It's okay if you can read the D's and the D's and that, but can you apply them to your natural life?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. The application of what? Okay. And that scripture you were talking about, that's Mark chapter 4, verse 25, where Jesus says that he who has, more shall be given, and he that has not, that which he has shall be what? Taken away from him? That's Mark chapter 4, verse 25. Don't go there because you got another assignment.
Yeah. I was just okay. All right. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, what has happened that you were going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered, "If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. One does not really love me."
Ooh. He will do what?
He will make his dwelling place with us.
What does dwelling place mean?
A living place, a habitation.
It's where you live.
Yeah.
You have an apartment, right? That's your dwelling place. Okay? That's where you dwell. That's where you live. Jesus is telling them God's going to come and live with them.
Amen.
Well, that's a foreign concept. You know, God was in the temple. He can't be in us. She came.
Oh, yeah.
See, God says, "I don't want to be in a building set aside where I can only see you once a week. I want to live with you. I want to be there with you 24/7, 365.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You don't need no pastor.
Because I want to be with you 24/7, 365.
Go to church.
I got a baby I got to be with me. You know what I'm saying? I can't handle that. You know what I mean? I can't handle that, man. Your best situation is that he might be with you always.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead on, baby.
The one who does not really love me does not keep my words. Mm-hmm. And the word, my teaching, which you hear, is not mine, but it is the Father's who sent me.
Say respect.
Respect.
If she listens to me but does nothing I say, she can tell me she loves me all day long, but her words are mute. Ooh. Why? Because there's no action that substantiates it. Mm-hmm. Likewise. Say likewise.
Likewise.
Huh? If there's no motion to what I'm saying about her, mm-hmm. she doesn't see it, mm-hmm. then it becomes empty words. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Just a tingling cymbal. You're just making noise.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying, guys? So what Jesus is saying is this. You can say you love me, but he says those who keep
my commandments.
Hmm?
Keep obeying. Keep obeying.
Mm-hmm. That shows you what?
Mm-hmm.
Obedience breeds
trust.
And trust brings promotion to the relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that?
Gotcha.
Do you know the Holy Spirit will go silent on you if you don't complete the last assignment?
Yes, he will. My God.
Bible says don't what? Don't grieve him.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he has personality. Person can't be grieved if they don't have personality or emotions. So he can be grieved. What grieves him? It's that you're not living up to the potential that God has for you. You follow that? Bless you, babe. You see that? So you're dealing with a real personality. You're dealing with a real person who has feelings. Doesn't let those feelings override him. Because what? He loves you that much. If I see her walk into a place that is going to provide much harm for her, and she continues it, it's going to cause me great sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to grieve me. You start doing something crazy that I know God didn't call you to. I'm talking about you.
Oh.
If I see Achilles doing something crazy, if I see you all doing something crazy, it's going to cause great grief. Why is the great grief? Because you see what the end's going to be if you continue on that path. So people say, you shouldn't be getting involved in other people's business. Jesus says, yes, you're supposed to be. He says, you're your brother's keeper.
Big facts.
Especially, say especially. But you're doing something that's going to ultimately bring what? Great harm to them. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Christian life, it says in the book of Revelations, I think it's Revelations chapter 20. Jesus says, no coward's going to get into heaven. Because what you do, you got to override cowardice. Say fear.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I tell people all the time, you can't be a Christian, be a coward, man. Because mm-hmm. God will push you. Say push you.
Push you.
Uh-huh. To the place where you got to give up your fears and walk in the truth that he has for you. Mm-hmm. So you can receive the best that he has for you. You follow me? Am I making sense?
Yes.
So Jesus is communicating to these guys, man, that I'm getting ready. I've got to go because, say because.
Because.
The Spirit of God. Say the Spirit of God.
Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit. That's what the pneumatology, the study of the qualities and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean you have the totality of who he is.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, desire. He says, come to a higher level. Desire a greater level of spiritual giftings. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead on, Rach. We're almost done. Are y'all, you receiving from this?
I'm receiving.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Say higher level of living.
Higher level of living.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Go ahead on, Rachel.
Verse 25. I have told you these things while I'm still with you, but the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father
she
will...
She just read his character traits.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Those are his character traits. Mm-hmm. He said comforter. You know, sometimes I can't comfort her like Holy Spirit can. And sometimes I have to get a place with him myself.
See, my wife and I, sometimes I'll get up so I won't bother her, and I'll go to, thank God for more than one bedroom. I go to the bedroom, and I sit down, and I listen to what he has to say to me. Because he speaks. Sometimes I listen to what he has to say about you. Because I pray. You follow me? I'm hoping some of y'all hear what he has to say about me. So y'all can pray. Take some of that heat off me, y'all. Understand what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? You see, you follow that. Because we are supposed to what? Supply to one another. We are joints in the same body. My foot doesn't say, Reggie, I'm not going to do this today. You know what I mean? So connected to me, this synergy that God calls the body, it works what? Together. And if it doesn't work together, my body's called at a place of dis-ease. It's not working properly. And it causes the whole body to function out of kilter, and it brings pain. Do you follow that? So when we're walking in the spirit, we're flowing in the spirit, God might drop one of you on each other's hearts. And boom, if you're sensitive, you begin to pray out what he's showing you. You said, Father, what are you trying to tell me? He likes questions. He does. He likes questions. Look how many questions he asked in Jesus. You follow me? Go ahead on, Rachel.
The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me.
Ooh, say in his what?
In his place.
His name. Said his name.
His name.
And his what?
And his place. He will teach you all things.
Who teaches us?
Holy Spirit.
So who's your teacher?
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And if Pastor Reggie's teaching, who's teaching through him?
Holy Spirit.
Do you follow his way? Because he knows what you need.
That's right.
Frustrates me sometimes. I don't put together a great message. And he ignores it. That ain't what he did. Drop the mic.
Sermon notes.
Because it's not my job to create a message. It's my job to just simply say simply what?
Simply.
I'm just this.
Mouthpiece.
What's this?
The microphone.
What's a microphone doing?
Amplify.
All I'm doing is amplifying what he's saying to you. Huh? And you take it. And go to another level. Because guess what? I can't give you everything.
Right.
Huh? You got to be responsible for your portion.
Yes.
And then you go read what you just heard. Mm-hmm. And then he begins to add on. Huh? Yeah. And begins to give you more. Glory to God. And eventually, say eventually.
Eventually.
Y'all going to get up and preach.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I receive.
Hello.
Hey.
One day, Nakari, get on up here, girl. Break that word, girl.
I know
you
got
to hit it. You get on up there, he's going to drop it on you. Bam! We're going to be like,
fire, fire.
Huh? One day, Achilles is going to have to get up here and what? Say the word.
Come on. Amen.
Yes, little man.
Mm-hmm. But you got to have some in you. Got to read that Bible, boy. You see what I'm saying? Go ahead, yes, baby.
Be a prophet, although you may walk in that office as well. But the thing that comes to my mind is a person that has been sitting under the word, under the teaching, and in their private time, they've been before the Lord, and he's been showing them things. So when they come to service, and the Holy Spirit prompts them to speak, share, say something, what have you. Now they're, I'm going to use the word bold, courageous enough. And then they ask your permission. It's kind of like an order has been set. And so Katrina has done that very well. I don't want to say she's gotten comfortable, but she's been here long enough, and she's grown and listened, and she's tried to do things, in my opinion. decent and in order, so services will come forth, and now you just kind of like a flow, if you all are mm-hmm. paying attention for those who are here. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to say is that if you're here long enough and you sit and you hear the word and you really want to grow and develop, the Holy Spirit will do that through you. Mm-hmm. And there will be a sense, there will be confidence in that when pastor says, do you have a word or do you share a word? You're no longer operating in fear and sitting in silence and not saying anything. Mm-hmm. So again, being in a ministry where you are given liberties to exercise the gift that God is placing in you is paramount, because if you can do it here, it should make it not necessarily easy, but it should give you that much more mm-hmm. faith, that much more boldness to be able to do it outside of here.
Mm-hmm. That's the exact intent of the Father.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next level is to take it out there. It's easy here because you know everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's foundational. What was that? See, she's assuming. She's a seer. Mm-hmm.
But babe, you just said something else that's important. Mm-hmm. You said it's easy to do it here because you know everybody. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes we can get into being so familiar mm-hmm. that we're not really operating in our gifts, because that's just Katrina, that's just Vernon.
But listen to me, mm-hmm. listen to the level of development. Mm-hmm. Okay, she had to start here.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. She had to overcome.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
See, she boldly stood up to the process, even though sometimes you're stamping your knees shaking, you don't see him, but the knees shaking.
I won't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Mm-hmm. And then, Pop, can I just add to what you're saying is, because I shared this with Pop before, is that the truth is, when I started praying for the people, because I never say, can I give you a word? I just say, can I pray for you? And when Pop will ask the person, is that correct what she prayed? Is that correct what she said? I felt like that was a rebuke. And so I had to even get past that fear. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So okay, I just wanted to add that just to confirm what you're mm-hmm. saying. Like that's so right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because see what happens here, there's a situation where there's a proving that takes place. Mm-hmm. Do you understand me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't correct, it means now fine-tuning is needed.
Right.
Do you follow me? My daughter comes from a prophetic house, an apostolic prophetic house. So she's comfortable mm-hmm. speaking into people's lives, even in the streets. Mm-hmm. But that's come over
time.
And that doesn't mean she's ready. Guess what? Just like there are degrees in education, mm-hmm. there's a degree mm-hmm. of your prophetic, say prophetic, life in Christ. Mm-hmm. We have never made it. We're moving from, the Bible says, from glory to glory, and what?
Faith
to faith. Mm-hmm. So it's a progression. Say progression.
Progression.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. And the gift, say the gift.
Yes.
It's not only for the house, it's for the world.
Yes.
For the world.
You follow that? Mm-hmm. So your territory, spheres of influence become now the kingdoms of our God. So you can go to your job. Say, go to your job. And you can hear the Holy Spirit. He'll say, say this to this person. You follow me? Or pray for that person. And you'll hear it. And guess what? You're going to have to get over your knees shaking. You got to get over your heart start.
You hear it.
And the Holy Spirit, I've already told you.
Mm-hmm.
A little cardiac arrest.
A spiritual
arrest.
Oh, I'm arrested.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I can testify to that because he's our OG him now, but when he was at our store and I lay down to sleep and I had a dream that he was running, like just consistently running. And for some reason, I was in a dream, and I was asking myself, well, why are you running? Why do you keep running? And he said, I don't know. I just keep running. But the Holy Spirit told me, he said, that the next day I go to work, tell him what you see in your dream. And of course, that was my first time ever doing that. So I went to work, and I was like, was that the Holy Spirit, or what's that mean? You know what I'm saying? Right. So I got to work. I was nervous. I was scared. My heart was beating, just like you said, like consistently. And he passed right by me, and the Holy Spirit said, tell him your dream. And then, because I'm working. I'm like, I don't know if I should do this or not.
Tell the story, girl. Tell the story. Come on now. Tell the truth.
So then, I don't know. I got the boldness and the courage because he went outside and he was by himself. So I went outside and my heart was beating even faster. So then I told him, Leon, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, sure. So I said, last night, I had a dream about you. In my dream that you was like consistently running fast. And I told him, I said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, I don't know what you're running from or who you're running from, but you need to stop running. And as soon as I said that, his eyes got big. Like, he was like, that's all I said. He was shocked. Like, he couldn't move. He just stood there with that look on his face. Like, wow.
You know exactly what you mean.
Right. See, I've been there. And this mean because I've achieved. There are times when he still speaks and you're like, but you get over the what? That's what these types of events are. See, when I came to work today, the Holy Spirit said, talk about this, because this is where they're headed. He told me months ago, he says, I'm getting ready to use this house as a prophecy center, which means you all.
Hello.
Which means you all. So he's putting you into, I'm going to use my wife's terminology. He's taking you off the bench and putting you in the game. In your employment. In your social circles. And as you walk in, he's going to trust you with more. Because you've proven that you can handle more. You follow me? What's that? More intimacy? More insight. Because I know you're struggling for hours over there behind that chicken.
It's going to be the best chicken today. I'm working real hard.
Yes. We all walk back in 20 times.
Yeah. That ain't no lie.
Working hard. Like, here, Leon, no, not today. Not today.
Every time.
That's how it works, because now you're battling with him. Because you know what you said? Is this me or is this the Holy Spirit? Good question. Good question. That's not a bad question to ask. That shows a level of maturity. Because you're seeking him. You follow me? The Bible says try whatever spirit it is.
Yeah.
Try the spirit what?
By the spirit.
Holy Spirit, is that you? That's trying the spirit. Is that you, Holy Spirit? Follow me? You got a comfort level that was him? God gave you an opportunity because Leon went outside. Just you and him.
Yeah.
You and him.
Yeah, Mimi.
I didn't, to have like the words to articulate like these types of experiences, I didn't have before, because there was like times where the same thing would like repeat in my head and I couldn't shake it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write this down and hopefully it goes away. But then now, like coming into a prophetic house, I've realized that when I can't shake it, it's something that I have to let out. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of like a couple months into me going into the job, me and the supervisor
we ended up, like, she was able to, like, feel comfortable to talk to me about some things.
Sure.
And, like, relationships that she was going through and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's at least, like, you know, 40 years older plus.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
And so she's kind of talking to me, and I think, like, we were going through, like, in Bible study, like, just the love of God and your value and how much you're worth it and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to just sell yourself out because you're getting attention.
Sure.
And so it was, like, a day we were going, and she was, like, telling me these things. And this time I just, like, I just heard it with a different ear. And so the Lord kind of told me to, like, tell her that he loves her and she doesn't have to go through these strange relationships to feel that, you know?
Right.
And I was like, God, I just walked up in here. Like, I don't know if we're on that type of relationship yet for me to be telling her about how she should run her relationships and type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's my position, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Real competition.
Yeah.
Right there. Sir.
I was like, I don't think that's it.
Voice change.
You know, I think you're going to have to tell her that yourself, because I'm not going to do this job like this. And he was like, no, this is what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then so a day went by. I was like, no, not today. And then so she left work, and it just kept coming. The second day, I was like, nope. And then so finally, it just would not go away. So the third day comes. It's kind of busy, so I wasn't able to, like, tell her in person. But I was just like, hey, when you get off and I get off, I gotta call you and tell you this, because I'm sick of hearing this in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I can't let it go. And then so I ended up texting her. She wasn't able to, like, you know, talk on the phone. So I ended up texting her this long thing and sending it to her. And she was just like, you know what, Mifflin? This is exactly what I needed. Because I was battling over and over again what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, and I was just like, after I said it, I was like, well, God, you just finna have to speak to her at this point, because I said what I had to say, and hopefully she receives it. And so I'm shaking, like, okay, I hope she doesn't find this offensive. But, you know, because when you start telling people about themselves, it's like,
because
now they have to see it.
What happens with that is God's giving you a power. He's dealing with, it says a tension between walking in the spirit and walking in the natural. And what you find out if you read Isaiah, Isaiah was a true prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Isaiah was a bad Navi. You understand what I'm saying?
Good, bad?
When I say bad, I mean he gonna break it. You know, listen, I ain't got no emotions associated with this. No emotions. This is what the Lord said. Deal with it. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, going to do my own thing. You follow me? And what happens is you begin to recognize there's value to what you have to give. I never forget this. I just went, my wife and I, we just went to this person's house. I think they invited us over for Thanksgiving. And this brother says, come on, Elder God, we're going to go witness. I said, man, I came in to eat chicken.
That is
weird. No, I can't eat. I ain't going to work today.
People want you to do their witnessing for them. Come on, Andre, come on. I was an elder then. Come on, in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm like, man, I just came over here to have Thanksgiving, bro. You follow me? So I get up and said, God, these people in here. So I'm over here and I'm ministering to this young man, and all of a sudden, God just drops this heavy burden on me. And I'm saying, wow, Lord, what is this heavy burden? And I know this boy is in danger. And I'm leading him as best as the Holy Spirit's pulling on me, leading this young man to commit his life to the Lord. And the Spirit of God said, tell him, you don't have time.
Mm.
I said, young man, I said, handsome dude, go be kid, man. And he was wrestling. He was saying, I know what you're telling me is right. I know it. He says, but I got to do something before I make that move. I say, young man, I said, the time is now. I said, I don't know why I'm feeling this heavy conviction, but I said, I know this. This is so important for you. I just came in to eat some turkey, bro. But you need to make a decision for the Lord. That's a Sunday.
got a call at the company, the other day, he's a minister to him. He got killed. I said, oh, I said, what happened?
He was going to North Carolina from Atlanta to make the last drug deal. He's gonna make that last little bit of money, he's gonna go. That was it. Dude shot him in the middle of the forehead. Through the door. Dying. And I said, wow. That's how serious the call is. That even when someone rejects, they'll never be able to say, I didn't have the opportunity. You see, sometimes we have to see it just like that. It's that important, especially if it's heavy on you, because I didn't know the kid.
Yeah.
I'm just over here ministering to these young boys. He had to be probably about 24, 25, and I'm ministering to these guys, man, as the Holy Spirit's leading me. But it was him. Bam. Another opportunity came when I was refereeing a basketball game, and this dude was beating up on this guy, some awful cussing and everything. I said, yo, man, you're in the church. Because we, at our church, we had a basketball facility. We had a tennis court. I talked tennis. So this guy's running, and he collapses.
Oof.
I turn around. Call the paramedics, get over here. Boom. Touch his pulse. And I spoke to the guy when he came in.
Nice guy, man.
Beautiful dude. Just, he was running down the court, and he would say, Lord, help me. He's running down the court, Lord, help me. I'm thinking, you know, he's trying to, Lord, he's asking the Lord to help him because he's about ready to beat this dude up, you know, because this dude's giving him a hard time. He falls, man. Paramedic says he was dead before he hit the floor. So I pulled all these guys together and I said, listen, I said, this is how rapid life can be. I said, this is how quickly you can miss this. I said, that brother didn't come in here with the expectation that he was going to die and leave the planet. And I said, right now, you guys, I said, listen to me. And I started ministering the word of God to them. I said, tomorrow is not promised. You're not promised to get out of this gym and drive down the highway. I said, that's not a promise. I said, today, you're not, who? And I just laid it out. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If you die today, where would you go? And this one brother, he stepped out of the line. He said, man, I need Jesus. Then he said, all y'all niggas need Jesus, you know.
Call me out, bro.
You know you need Jesus. And there's one guy, the guy who was giving the guy the tough time. And I said, you. I said, you in particular know what you did, and you feel real bad right now. But I said, you'll never be able to wipe this away. Mm-hmm. I said, as long as you keep running from the master, you're not going to have any satisfaction, young man. Mm-hmm. The other dudes came in, he went away. I don't even know what happened to him. Mm-hmm. But it's moments like that when the Holy Spirit fires up something on the inside of you. Yeah. Says, minister all of them. They need to come in the kingdom. And that's where you are, lifesavers. We used to go out and witness. We used to call ourselves the lifesavers. I had a t-shirt, and we made a t-shirt with a life preserver on it. And so when we would go out, we would wear our t-shirt in the middle. I made the t-shirt for us. And we had a lifesaver in here. And that's what we are. We're lifesavers. And God, see, this is OJT. When you learn how to stand up here and communicate the kingdom of God and walk as the Father is leading you to one another, guess what? That's preparation to take this outside.
That's right. Amen.
See, you're prepping to be life out there.
Life.
There's life here. Yeah. But Jesus wants you to take his life to someone who needs it. Mm-hmm. And he's trusting you. Say, trusting you.
He's trusting
as you begin to get to know him. Say, get to know him. Through his word. And begin to obey those promptings. So that you can be a light to others. Because that's exactly what you are.
Amen.
That's exactly what you are.